Top story today on the state level. We have been following a number, and it's a pretty sizable number, of cases moving through the courts, state and federal, challenging the district lines that lawmakers have drawn for North Carolina's state legislative and U.S. congressional districts. There's a couple cases going through right now, League of Women Voters versus Rucho, challenging the state congressional maps as an act of the U.S. congressional maps, rather, as an act of partisan gerrymandering. There's another case, though, going through challenging the state legislative district lines as an act of racial gerrymandering. Earlier this year, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the old state legislative district line. Lawmakers went back, redrew the lines. Those new lines have been challenged. A three-judge panel in Greensboro earlier this month heard arguments. They have been trying to make a decision, and today that three-judge panel appointed a special master to, quoting now, assist the court in evaluating some of the districts that have been challenged. No ruling yet officially from the three-judge panel, but they did appoint a special master. So that's a pretty clear indication that they're having some very strong concerns about some of these district lines, at the very least. We're joined now on the air by Dustin Chickerell Bayard. He's the communications director for the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, and Jennifer Bremer, who's with the League of Women Voters of North Carolina, which is the plaintiff in the Rucho case, which is the one challenging the U.S. congressional district maps. Dustin, Jennifer, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having us.
So, Dustin, let me start with you, and let's begin with the news for today, which is the Covington v. North Carolina case. For people who don't know, who are just following this, tell us about Covington v. North Carolina, what the actual allegation is, or what the complaint is that's being filed, and what happened today and why it matters.
Sure. That case started in 2015 when the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, representing, I think, 31 individual plaintiffs, challenged state legislative maps on racial gerrymandering grounds. In 2016, the three-judge panel in federal court recognized that 28 of those districts were unconstitutional racial gerrymanders. There was some kicking the can down the road. It took a while to get resolution, but later this year, in August, the state legislature redrew state legislative districts per court order. What happened after that was the plaintiffs in that case objected that some of those districts remained to be racial gerrymanders, and several of those districts were drawn unconstitutionally and changed the district lines in violation of the state constitution's prohibition on mid-decade redistricting. So what we saw today was the three-judge panel in federal court say, we're going to appoint a special master to evaluate this and determine, if anything, what remedy needs to be put in place.
Okay, so that's the latest on this. What does it mean that the court appointed the special master? I think I kind of speculated this means that they've still got serious concerns about some of these district lines. Is that correct?
It's kind of unclear. What it really means to me is that they're taking this really seriously, mm-hmm. and that they want an expert, someone to come in who has experience of this, to look at this and say, are these districts fair, and what needs to be done? And plaintiffs in this case have made it before that three-judge panel time and again that these are still some racially gerrymandered districts, and other districts were drawn unnecessarily, changed unnecessarily. So we're just looking forward for the special master doing that review and trying to figure out what the appropriate remedy is.
So going back just a little bit, racial gerrymandering, drawing the district lines to benefit one race of voters over another, typically white voters advantaged, black voters disadvantaged. And it's not just, I mean, we think of gerrymandering as being that instance where you look at the district map and the lines are all kind of funny, drawn this way and that. And there is a little bit of that with these district lines, or actually quite a bit of that with these district lines. But that's not the determinant of racial gerrymandering. What are the data that you look at to determine this is a case of racial gerrymandering versus this is not?
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes districts just look funny and people assume that that's going to be a gerrymander, but oftentimes funny lines are necessary to keep communities of interest together and to make sure their representation is fair, or to make sure that communities have a fair chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Ultimately, what this court found in the Covington decision was that the state of North Carolina unnecessarily packed black voters in the district. So you had high black voting age populations above 50%. And the state argued that they were required to do that by the Voting Rights Act. And what the plaintiffs argued successfully and what the court found was that in most of these districts, that was an effort to concentrate black voters to dilute their influence in surrounding districts. And, you know, ultimately, the harm that that does is to us as a state, but to those communities in particular, it really dilutes their power and their voice to elect the candidates of their choice.
Speaking with Dustin Chickerell-Bayard of the Southern Coalition for Social Justice about the Covington v. North Carolina case, movement on that today. There's also League of Women Voters of North Carolina v. Rucho, which is challenging the U.S. congressional district lines as they currently stand as a case of not racial gerrymandering in this case, but partisan gerrymandering. And for that, we'll turn to Jennifer Bremer of the League of Women Voters of North Carolina. Where do things stand with regard to that particular case, first of all?
Well, as with the Covington case, these cases were both just heard in Greensboro, and really extremely, I was able to attend both of those, at least most of the hearings, and extremely fascinating discussion of this question in the case of our case and also a parallel common cause case that's being heard at the same time, because both in both cases, we're arguing that partisan gerrymanders violate the U.S. Constitution and challenging the 2016 congressional map that was redrawn as a, in response to a previous court order. So this this issue of whether partisan gerrymanders are illegal, and in particular how you would measure them and decide where the dividing line is between what's legitimate and what isn't, is I think one of the major questions that we're facing as a nation. And you can see this as well in the national case, the Wisconsin case, Gill v. Whitford, which is a very similar case in many ways, again arguing that partisan gerrymandering is not permissible. And the justices have argued in the past that it was likely that partisan gerrymandering, extreme partisan gerrymandering in any case, was not constitutional but could not find a standard. So one of the real strengths of this case is being able to bring forward both different ways of considering just why is it unconstitutional, and also different ways that you would determine whether a given set of maps crossed the line and where that line should be. Yep. So by helping to establish that, these cases are playing, I think, a very important role in this national dialogue.
And this is, I mean, keeping track of all of these cases is really difficult, right? Because you've got Covington v. North Carolina, League of Women Voters v. Rucho. You mentioned Common Cause v. Rucho, which is also moving through. You've got cases challenging the U.S. congressional map, the state legislative map. You've got racial gerrymandering, which is definitely unconstitutional. So lawmakers are saying, no, no, we didn't do that. But you've also got partisan gerrymandering, which the constitutionality is still kind of up in the air. So in this particular case, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's really no question that partisan gerrymandering took place. It's just, is that unconstitutional? And then what's the threshold, right? So what is the threshold? What is the test that you're proposing to be the standard?
Well, we're suggesting actually a variety of different tests and looking to see whether the justices are able to, you know, to identify a standard that they really feel is strong and can go forward. That's one of the advantages of having both of these cases being heard, is that we are able to present somewhat different arguments through our colleagues at the Southern Coalition and the rest of the legal team as to what is the standard. But we're arguing that these violate both the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment. And some of the ways that are being brought forward to measure it have to do with what's called the efficiency gap. And that really is a measure that is extremely well targeted, developed by Dr. Stephanopoulos and Dr. McGee of Minnesota, to really measure what it is that gerrymandering does. And as Dustin said, it typically works by packing voters, whether on a partisan basis or racial basis, packing them into districts so that the rest of the districts have fewer of that group. And then that enables the organization that's doing the gerrymandering to enable their people to win at a higher level by having fewer opponents in a whole bunch of districts. So they pack them into a few districts and basically dilute them in the other districts. And this is exactly what the efficiency gap measures, is how efficiently one party can translate its votes into seats, and whether that is affected by this packing and cracking, as it's called.
With the efficiency gap in this case with the standard, how much inefficiency is too much to trigger the constitutional protection?
Well, the testimony that was presented really argued that it depends in part on how large the state is and how many districts you have. For states such as North Carolina, the specific measure that set, they were suggesting 7% or 7.5%, just based on the distribution of what the range of possibilities is. For larger states, it could be a somewhat higher, they have more districts, it could be a somewhat higher standard. And for really small states, some states only have one district, so obviously you can't gerrymander one district, even in the House. Some have only two or three, and in those it's very difficult to set a standard. Although you can still gerrymander them, but you can't really prove it. So the maps that were drawn, another way to try to see how reasonable that is to run these massive simulations where they take the computers and program them with the legitimate criteria of compactness and so forth, and then they just simulate map after map after map, literally tens of thousands of maps, and look to see how those come out in terms of the partisan division and where the map that was drawn stands relative to those. And that evidence really showed how extreme this set of maps is and how far away it is from something that you would get if you were arguing that it was partisan, arguing that it was nonpartisan. And moreover, the legislature's officially adopted criteria, which can still be found on the NCGA website, specifically stated that the overriding goal was 10 seats for one party and 3 seats for the other. So it's very difficult to argue this is not a partisan gerrymander, and that in fact has been the result that has been achieved in many of the elections since it was drawn.
So that's the efficiency gap, and we're speaking with Jennifer Bremer from the League of Women Voters of North Carolina. You mentioned a couple different cases, and I've kind of been lumping the two together, the League of Women Voters case and Common Cause, but this could be an instance where the justices uphold the lines in one case but strike them down in another because they accept one standard over the other, right? Is that possible, or?
My understanding is that as they're combined, and Dustin may be
so they are in fact combined.
They're being heard jointly.
Yeah. So what are the? You mentioned the efficiency gap, but you also mentioned some other standards that are being proposed as possible tests, right?
Well, there's also one that's a little bit easier to understand, which is the difference between the mean district, i.e. the average district, and the median district, which is the one that's right in the middle on a partisan scale, and if that the difference between those two is too large, that indicates that the distribution is really skewed, that you've got one, it's not sort of evenly reflecting the division of the actual voting population. And so that's another measure that is proposed. And we're also looking at what's called partisan asymmetry or seats for votes, that if you get 50% of the votes statewide, you would think you would get around 50% of the seats. And when you see a huge difference between those, getting 40% of the votes but getting 60% of the seats, then that does suggest that there may have been some engineering going on in the background.
How much does the Wisconsin case that the Supreme Court is hearing, how much is the outcome of this dependent on the outcome of that?
Well, my understanding is that it depends in part on the timing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the federal court would certainly have to respect the ruling of the Supreme Court were that to come out. But that is, I think, who can say, but it's
right.
Unlikely to come out, I think, before this court rules. Also the fact that in the Wisconsin case, there is not the kind of very direct evidence of partisan intent. What is proposed by our lawyers the technical measure, but on sort of a standard, is to look at, is this a partisan gerrymander? Was there intent to draw a partisan gerrymander, and does it have a partisan effect? Actually, did they really draw one that way, as shown by the results? And then finally, is there anything else that would justify why they drew it that way, other than for partisan gain? So that's also as also something that will be examined as to help setting a standard that people can understand and really see the logic of.
Dustin, you wanted to jump in on this?
Yeah, and I think Jennifer just did a great job of vocalizing what the argument before the court actually was. It's a three-prong test. So when we talked about the efficiency gap and the mean median and partisan symmetry and partisan bias, all of that's measuring the effect, and that's the second prong of the test. So really what we're asking the court in this case to consider is, was there intent, was there an effect to discriminate, and then is there any other justification? And when Jennifer talked about running all these models to see how egregious these maps are in comparison to the 3,000 or so that were run by different experts, we found that there's no other justification for maps this extreme, this partisan. And then one other thing I did want to mention, too, is that while we've talked about racial gerrymandering as well, we're talking about partisan gerrymandering now, party is often used as a proxy for race in many mm-hmm. cases. So even though we're talking about partisan gerrymandering, it is people of color in North Carolina who are most directly impacted and disproportionately impacted by partisan gerrymandering. And that's one of the main reasons that the Southern Coalition partnered with the League of Women Voters as well as individual plaintiffs in this case. That's just very important, and the two are very much connected.
Speaking with Dustin Chickerell-Bayard, you just heard him. Jennifer Bremer, you just heard her from the Southern Coalition for Social Justice and the League of Women Voters of North Carolina, respectively. Covington v. North Carolina is the case challenging the state legislative district lines on racial gerrymandering grounds. League of Women Voters v. Rucho and Common Cause v. Rucho, the two cases currently challenging the U.S. congressional maps as an act of partisan gerrymandering. Difficult to keep track of, but before we let you go, what else do people need to know, and where can people go to find out more information?
Yeah, I would say southerncoalition.org or scsj.org is the homepage for the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. We have been for many years challenging racial redistricting or racial gerrymandering that's unconstitutional. We are very proud to be working with the League of Women Voters and other groups to challenge partisan gerrymandering. I think that's one of the best places. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter as well.
Jennifer?
Yeah, and the League also, we have a website, and we're trying to keep up as information comes out, trying to keep that up to date. I have a little one-page cheat sheet that I use because I can't keep them straight. We have 6 cases running across the state of
right.
different sorts, so it does get very confusing. Also the Brennan Center out of New York does a really excellent job of providing information not only on these cases, but on a whole range of other cases around the country.
And then finally, just to wrap up, when do we expect final rulings from the cases as they stand? We scheduled this interview last week, and I was thinking, oh, maybe we'll get lucky and there will be a ruling on the Rucho case, and then there was a ruling on the Covington case. So when do we expect a final decision here?
You know, I would never speculate,
yeah.
But at least for the partisan gerrymandering case, both sides are filing post-trial briefs, and that deadline is a week from this coming Monday. So there's still a little bit of time. The court needs to review and write an opinion. And, you know, these are complex issues, and we hope they take their time. But in today's order in the Covington case, the racial gerrymandering case, the court recognized that that maps need to be used in 2018 for state-level elections, that there are filing deadlines coming up in February. So that's very much front of mind for the judges in the court as they consider these maps. And so hopefully we'll see some resolution soon.
Dustin, Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.